Well, good morning, Brad. Good morning on this Wednesday morning, March the 26th. Good morning. Good morning. So happy to have you with me. It looks like I am going to have to do another emergency live today. What the world? It is like everything is just ramping up so fast right now. The moves that our government is making is it's so at a biblical proportion, it's not even funny. The good news is for the ministry, another bit of good news is that the high-speed internet is coming this week, praise God. So this will revolutionize this ministry, I'm telling you. I will be able to be back on, doing more lives and stuff and be able to show my face. I've actually had people call me, why are you not showing your face? You know, I'll tell them, have you seen my face with this internet I have out here? It is horrible because it's so grainy. I mean, it's just so bad with this satellite internet. So they're getting it all hooked up this week. Praise God. So this is going to change everything. I am hoping to start those Good Morning on the Farms this year. The little goats are so cute, and you know, our chickens right now, I'm looking out the window and got chickens in the backyard. So it'll be really, really nice. And let's see, what other kind of news do I have? I think that's it. I love you guys. I pray all of you are doing well. And I pray that I just want to say to you guys and everybody that's listening later that, as we have showed in the news and talked about, you know, what's happening in the global church with the global leaders and what is happening with the deception and how they're partnering with the beast and all that. I mean, those days are over. You know, focusing on their errors, okay? Only time I ever do it is on major issues, you know, like something they're doing at the White House or, you know, something major. Because my heart has been that we need to be that, you know. This is why we have the Bible college, this is why we're doing the prayer calls. You know, we need to be the change. You know, we need to just really ask the Lord, you know, how can I represent you to my circle of influence? You know, we may not be able to change the world with large numbers because of what we believe, but we can change the world with whoever God puts in front of us. Because remember, it's never, ever been about numbers. God has taught me that. So, it's about who is watching. So, this morning, you know, Dennis was noticing that one of those, because it shows up on his feed, wherever he was looking, about one of the big NAR ministers, you know, that's been arrested for you know, sexual abuse or whatever. And, you know, we just said it again. We're not going to focus on that. We're not going to focus on the downfall of the church. We're going to focus on the church that wants to live. You know, the church that wants to be all that God has called them to be in spite of what the beast is doing type of deal. These people that are going down right now is just a prelude of what's coming to the bigger church. So people need to be very careful how they're judging these ministers and mocking them right now because they're down and exposed. Just wait till it hits their house, you know, how they're going to treat these is how they're going to be treated, is the way I see it, you know, because the Lord told me that we are to just pray for these people, because this is judgment that's happening to them, and judgment's a good thing. You know, the world don't see it that way, but judgment's a good thing because it gets us in our focus. It lets us know, okay, you know, who are we really pleasing here? And our heart is to really please the Lord. So if we have sinned and have brought this on, like say this minister did do this thing to a child, he's not necessarily going to go to hell unless he does not repent about it. You know, God's heart is, no matter how ugly and dirty it is, just come back to me and repent. Let me heal you. Let me deliver you. Set you free. There's nobody beyond repentance unless they take the mark of the beast type of deal. Nobody's beyond repentance. And as far as the mark of the beast goes, we really don't know. We know in our heart what we believe is right before God, but it is not 100% obvious. So I don't feel like for us as a ministry, it's our place to tell people that it is that, you know, because there are some things hanging out there that is a cause to pause about it. You know, one of them is the buying and selling. Another one is, what's that other one? Because they didn't denounce Jesus with their mouth. That's the other big one. But there is coming a day where, you know, the people that took it are going to, if they don't repent and denounce it, they're going to continue down that path. And it's utter destruction. You know, it's nothing but death. So they need to either way, you know, type of deal. All right, so today is Give Back Wednesday, and I'm excited to hear all that God is going to use you guys for, to speak into us and everything. And I'm going to start off, so I have one. I'm going to give this little encouragement by Miss Opal Dalton again by her book, Daily Inspiration, for March the 26th. It's called Seed Sowing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 6:7-8. Sow good seeds of the word of God. Sow good seeds of the love of God. Sow good seeds of kindness. Sow good seeds of money too. Sow good seeds for more seed to sow. What kind of garden are you planting today? By your thoughts, words, actions, and deeds, you will reap a harvest in the days, weeks, and years to come, and even into eternity, according to the kind of seed you sow. Isn't this good? That's actually what I just said. The thoughts you think and the words you speak affect your destiny. The seeds you sow also provide daily opportunities to affect, in a positive or negative way, the lives of family, friends, community, state, nation, and even the world. Now that he ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:10. So here's the prayer that she has. Lord, help us to discipline our thoughts, words, and actions so that we may be a positive influence, sowing good seed doing good deeds and bringing honor to your name, Lord. Amen. All right. Thank you, Miss Opal. That was beautiful, beautiful. All right. Well, I'm going to open up the line and let's go ahead and start off with Canada. Good morning, Canada. How you guys doing?
Good morning, Bride. Mine is going to be about to every... Can you hear me? Here we go.
Hey,
yes, ma'am.
To everything... Okay, here we go. To everything, there is a season and a time. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Ephesians 5:15-16. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Acts 1:7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Daniel 2:21. And he changes the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is not yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Tarry through it, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So we need to be content in our circumstances. This allows us to appreciate the time we have. We need to use our time wisely in all situations. We wait patiently for God's plan to unfold even when it feels delayed. We can trust him. We can trust he has a timeline in place for our lives. Every moment helps us to appreciate both the joyful and challenging times, making the most of every situation God places us in. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the time you have given us. We praise your holy name. Amen.
I absolutely love that. What was that scripture you had after Ecclesiastes 3? It was something 4:14. I didn't get it.
Ecclesiastes 3:11.
I got that one. What's after that one?
Psalm 90:12.
I got that one, and I got Colossians 4:5, Ecclesiastes 3, and then what was the next one?
James 4:14.
Oh, that's it. Okay. All right. Thank you, sister, very much. That was a great, encouraging word. All right. What about Texas? Good morning. What is going on in Texas? Good morning.
Good morning. I have a small piece of the word to read this morning, and it's in Jeremiah 23. And it says, the branch of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you. Excuse me. Behold, I will attend to you, the evil of your doings, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant, my flock, out of all countries I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in all the earth. And his days will be saved, and Israel will dwell safe. Now, this is his name. I'm sorry. No, this is his name by which he will be called, as in capital letters, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from the countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Bless you, the Lord, the God. God bless the bride.
All righty, sis. Thank you so much for that word as well. Let's move on to Mississippi. Good morning, Mississippi.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm reading today from Psalms 4 in the New Living Translation, and it reads, answer me when I call to you, O God, who declares me innocent. Free me from my trouble. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people ruin my reputation? How long will you make groundless accusations? How long will you continue to lie? You can be sure of this. The Lord set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call to him. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Offer sacrifice in the right spirit and trust the Lord. Many people say, who will show us better times? Let your face smile on us, Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvest of grain and new wine. In peace, I will lay down and sleep, For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the doers of his word. Amen.
Very good. Thank you so much. All right. What about Indiana? Good morning.
Morning. I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. But as he which hath calleth you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised up him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And it goes on. I'm going to go ahead and read from 22 through 25. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man, and the flower, as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I want to read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8. And this, I'm not sure which version this is, but I have a picture of this somewhere. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful, it is not arrogant or rude, love does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things.
Hey, Monica.
Yeah.
Monica. Oh, yeah. I said your name. I am so sorry.
No, it's fine.
Woman, you have got to speak up. Speak up and be a little more clear. It sounds like you're mumbling.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'll
there
start
you
all
go.
Over. Again. All
right, much better. Thank you.
Okay. Love
well,
is patient.
Start from 1 Corinthians where you is at in chapter 13.
Okay. Love is patient,
yeah,
love
go
is
ahead.
Kind. Love is patient, love
much
is kind.
Better.
Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Can I read 1 Peter over again then? 1 Peter 2, 9. But ye are
yes, ma'am, go.
Okay, thank you. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, sorry about that. That's all I have. Thank you.
All righty, sister. No worries, no worries. What about Georgia? Good morning, Georgia.
Hey, good morning.
I just wanted to share some passages of scripture to remind us that we must be like little children. Because I was working on my stuff for Good News Club this morning. I'm going to take one from each gospel, except for John. I'm going to read his first letter. Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, suffer little children or forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Mark 10:14, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Luke 18:16, but Jesus called unto them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And in 1 John 2:18, he says, little children, it is the last time, as we have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So the meaning is that Jesus is trying to tell us that we need to have humility and the dependence of children, that are qualities essential for entering God's kingdom, so that we got to stay humble and recognize that we have to be dependent, just like little children are on their parents. We have to be dependent on our Father in heaven and on Jesus and on the Holy Spirit in all things, and not make decisions without, you know, little kids. A lot of times they'll come into the store where I'm at, and the parents are trying to encourage them, you know, to do their own orders and things like that, but they're, you know, looking up to their parents. And we have to be the same way. Any decisions we make, anything we do, you know, we basically need to check with the Holy Spirit on all things. You know, double check, is this the right thing to do? So I just wanted that to be an encouragement. And also at the beginning of your call this morning, I noticed that you said that you were talking about the judgment. I had something, I'm also relating something that happened to me recently. I've never ever had to give somebody a personal warning word, but I had to recently. I was at church and I was speaking in tongues while we were praying corporately, and the Lord dropped an admonition in my heart to warn someone that had worked at the restaurant, because she basically she bore false witness. Not only to me, but to others. She didn't tell the entire story of what happened, and I didn't defend myself, because her older brothers worked there, and I didn't want to embarrass. I mean, she's young, and I think some of it was maybe some anxiety or whatever, not being strong enough to respond in truth. So she kind of told me whatever she had to tell me to, you know, make me go away. But then, you know, she basically bore false witness, and the Lord had dropped in my spirit to tell her brother to warn her that, you know, she needs to repent of what she did. And I thought, wow, you know, and I thought, really, am I really receiving this? So I had to do like a double check before I went to him. And so I went to him and I said, I told him, I said, you need to tell your little sister to examine herself and tell the messages for me. She'll know exactly what it means. So she just recently got married and she's pregnant. And her and her husband were basically almost driven off the road. And she started having contractions, and apparently they ended up not being injured. But so the brother returned to work, and I had heard about it from other coworkers that are friends with her. And I said, did you deliver that message? And he said, no. And I said, you need to deliver the message, please. And I said, I don't just say that to just say it. I need you to tell her. So, you know, that was kind of, I never had that happen before, where I, you know, because we have general warnings that are in the scriptures to everyone. You know, everybody gets an admonition, gets a warning. We're told in the scriptures what to do. But that was the first time I ever got a word for somebody to go back and tell them. And, you know, then to have that happen, that they happened to get run off the road. It was just, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, we have to be obedient to the Lord and listen like little children. And the only thing I can think of is that maybe she continued that same sort of behavior. I don't think she's intentionally meaning to harm anyone, but you can't just let words come out of your mouth and say whatever is going to get you out of trouble. So that's all I wanted to say. We just need to be like little children, listen and obey, because, you know, we have a God that's much greater, you know, than us, that, you know, knew us before we were born and numbered the hairs on our heads. So I just wanted that to be an encouragement to everyone today, to remember to be like little children, always seeking the Lord in everything that we say and do, and get using His guidance and wisdom, not our own. Amen. That's all.
Now, am I understanding your story right? You're saying that this girl told the lie to the company, and then you was in prayer, and God gave you a check in your spirit that this needs to be addressed. So then you confronted the brother and asked him to relay it to her, and then right. He didn't, and she had an accident. Do I have the timeline right? She had an accident after she gave the lie.
Well, no, this was a couple of years ago that she worked at the restaurant and did that, and I just prayed for her at the time, and I just said, I went into intercessory prayer for her and her family at the time, and I said, Lord, help them. And she was a little bit rebellious towards her older brother at one point. They went out somewhere, and he was supposed to protect her, and she didn't tell him where she was going. So there's a little bit of something going on there, and I respect this brother. I respect both of the brothers, but in particular the one brother who's actually a leader at the job. So I relayed the message to him because he has more maturity, but he has an older brother that works there, but he has something happened that he has a very short attention span at times. So he's not a leader, but just the entire family, you know, I just care about what happens to them. And so I went into prayer right after, and I didn't, because she just reported one line of what was said. It was kind of out of context of the entire conversation. And they called me in the writing up, already had a paper for me to sign in front of me. And that was right after these DEI policies started coming down, and they just appointed a new corporate director. So I hate to say it, but it's like the directors were trying to get brownie points or something. I don't know. But I was just like, okay, I was unhappy with it at the time, but I just kept my mouth shut and just came home and, you know, prayed. So I'm saying I got another word. You know, this is a couple years later. She moved on to different jobs. She's married. And I guess the only reason why the Lord would want me to pass on that kind of warning is because she didn't turn away from whatever she was doing. So, yeah, I delivered the message. But it's not an easy thing to do, believe me. I didn't want to do it at all. But you know what? Yeah. You know, they're told what to do. You better do it.
Yeah.
So we have to be like little children.
I hear you there, Will.
Listen and obey.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much. Let's move on then to Florida. Good morning, Florida. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall go up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form, nor comeliness, nor when we shall see him, There is no beauty that we shall despise him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, and it was our faces from him. He was despised, and we was esteemed him. We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord... And laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shield is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he was made grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any guile in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travel of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By the knowledge shall my righteousness servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he had numbered with the transgression, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Well, that's my scripture for this morning.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, sister, for your encouraging word. What about the other side of Florida? Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, excuse me. I have this a while ago at a flea market. I found this book. It's called Bible Readings for the Home Circle. There's this little section on praise and thanksgiving, and I just want to read that. And it starts out with, like, it asks a question. When did the psalmist say he would bless the Lord? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. This is Psalm 34:1 and Psalm 145:2. The next question is, what do those do who offer praise? Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. From Psalm 50:23. Where does David say he will praise God? My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Psalm 22:25. What does he exhort all to do? O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 34:3. What personal experience does he say he will declare in the hearing of all who fear God? Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Psalm 66:16. What effect do such testimonies have upon the humble? My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Psalm 34:2. Into what condition did those lapse and anciently who failed to glorify God and to be thankful? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Romans 1:21. What element should enter into all our worship? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's Philippians 4:6 and Colossians 4:2. In how many things should we give thanks? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. How often and for how much should we render thanks? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. With what exhortation does the psalmist close his songs of praise? Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with stringed instruments and organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150. And then there's this little poem here, or hymn. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bow down before him, his glory proclaim, with gold of obedience and incense of lowliness. Kneel and adore him, the Lord is his name. Low at his feet lay thy burden of carefulness, high on his heart he will bear it for thee. Comfort thy sorrows and answer thy prayerfulness, guiding thy steps as may best for thee be. Fear not to enter his courts in the slenderness of the poor wealth that thou wouldest reckon as thine. Truth in its beauty and love in its tenderness, these are the offerings to lay on his shrine. These, though we bring them in trembling and fearfulness, he will accept for the name that is dear. Mornings of joy give for evenings of tearfulness, trust for our trembling and hope for our fear. That's the end.
That's a really cool book. That was, I'm starting to see a theme today. The Lord is telling all of us, you know, that we need to trust in him and humble ourselves and allow him to do what he's going to do. Go ahead, Miss Florida.
Just so you know, this book was published in 1923.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, I took a lot of notes from you. That was really good. All right, well, thank you so much. What about Virginia? Good morning, Virginia.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Dr. June. I just want to thank everybody for listening today and pray that everyone is blessed today. I'm kind of going with what you were speaking about in your opening about not just ministers that are falling right now, but we've been talking about the importance of our armor and comparing it to the pieces of our ephod. And just that those things come and that God is shoring us up. And like you said, even our ministers who are falling, you know, as long as they're breathing today, God is giving them an opportunity to humble themselves and to turn. That's the Lord's desire for us. So I'm going to go with 1 Kings 22. 34 to begin with. And let's see. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So we always want to be mindful that our enemy is looking for the cracks, not necessarily a direct arrow to the, maybe directly to our helmet or directly to our breastplate, but he was looking for the cracks. He struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded." Battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians, and he died. So when we think about our armor and our weak links, those types of things, I just want to read the entrance of the first book of Kings that displays that the power of a crack in us not dealt with. It says the first half of First Kings traces the life of Solomon under his leadership. Israel rises to the peak of her size and glory. I can't even fathom what that looked like. It must have been beautiful. Solomon's great accomplishments, including the unsurpassed splendor of the temple which he constructed in Jerusalem, bring him worldwide fame and respect. However, and here we see Solomon's crack. However, Solomon's zeal for God diminishes in his later years as pagan wives turn his heart away from worship in the temple of God. It kind of relates to our churches today, to be honest. Being deceived and pulled away. And as a result of this undealt with crack, between all of his beauty and all of the splendor he had built, the king was given a divided heart because he allowed the entrance of the pagan wives. And that left behind, this is so powerful, a divided kingdom. That crack divided the kingdom. And for the next century, the book of First Kings traces that. And we see those cracks today in us, in ministry, in the world. But I was thinking back to another book I was trained in, and I haven't looked at it in a while. I can't remember the title, but it was about 30 years ago. But the one thing, it had to deal with the heart and to always be mindful we are in a spiritual war. And at any time, if our strengths can become our weaknesses, and our weaknesses can become our strengths. And the importance of daily reflection with the Holy Spirit. And I think of that as at our brazen laver and self-reflection daily for the Lord to search us for the cracks. That the enemy is always after our most vulnerable spots. It usually comes with a side swipe. It's not always the most obvious. And just for us to continue to allow God to shore up those weak links, expose those cracks to us in the privacy of our worship and self-reflection with the Holy Spirit. Because we know that is part of entering in to the Holy of Holies. And we can't skip that process of keeping I call it keeping a short list with the Lord. Repenting throughout our day, continually asking the Lord to search us. Asking the Holy Spirit to just go in there and shine the light on things we can't even see or things he foreknows that can become a weakness or become our strength. Either one can sink us. So our strengths can bring in pride, and, you know, our weaknesses can bring in the enemy. So we just always want to be looking at those. And I do lift up our ministers, that it seems like the Lord is just sweeping the nation of our ministers. And I believe his heart's desire is a cleansing work. I don't know if they will achieve that, but as long as there's breath, there's hope. But most importantly, that we are each committed here and are coming here and are daily doing the work and saying, Lord, search us. Search us now and strengthen our armor and expose the cracks for our good, because he loves us. And I just love all of you, and thank you for listening today. I just speak blessing to everyone today. Thank you, Dr. June.
Yes, that was very good about examining the cracks in our armor. When we are examining the temple, and we're talking about, you know, how we're all priests, and the Levites, which were the priests then, you know, they had to go in with their ephod, and if there was a crack, they would fall over dead.
Yes.
When they entered into the Holy of Holies. So I receive what you're saying this morning, sister. Thank you so much. And I receive what everyone has said this morning. It's been really I'm sorry, I accidentally muted me instead of muting you. What I was saying is I do receive what every one of you have said today, and I pray that the bride as a whole will receive this as well, because it's, you know, very good today, because we have correction alongside encouragement, and that is iron sharpening iron. And that's, you know, God's heart for all of us. So let's go ahead and pray. And we're going to ask God to examine our hearts today. And I do want to encourage everybody once again to sign up for the 3 days fasting and praying event that we're doing April 1st through the 3rd. Coming together as a corporate body, you know, in one mind and one accord, and praying for the church and for us and our families. Okay, so Lord, we just come before you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in unity, Lord, across the earth. And we're grateful for the word this morning that you spoke through all the people, Lord, the encouragement and the rebuke that you gave us this morning, Lord. We receive it, and we're asking you, Lord, to examine our hearts today, Lord. Examine our all of our rough places in our roots, Lord, and heal our roots today, God. Bring it to the surface. You know, anything that we need to deal with and repent of, Lord, so that we can be most effective for your kingdom. That is our heart, Lord. And so we give you glory and honor today, Lord. And we pray for all of these ministers, Lord, that are being judged right now publicly, Lord, that they would humble themselves and that they would repent, Lord. And we know that that is your heart, that they do it on this side of glory. So, Lord, we just lift up our brother and sister, God, and we pray that you help them, Lord, to be focused upon you and what your heart is for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Heal their families, Lord, and we pray that you would receive the glory through all of this that's going on. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. So I will see you on the news in a little bit, and then I will see you tomorrow. That's all for today. God bless.